Welcome to the Gonzaga Moe Newsroom. I don't know why I'm talking like this. I'm JP. I'm joined this week by Kyle and Vinny. Vinny, what pasta adjacent shenanigans did you get into last week?
Nothing. It's been hot. I don't want to turn my oven on.
So no altercations to speak of?
I haven't had a fight online this morning yet, mainly because I did a podcast with Ink and Diego about Ranking of Kings.
I saw that. How did that go?
We had a jolly good time. And it'll be out sometime between now and the heat death of the universe.
Okay, that's nice. Kyle, how have you been?
I just wanted to thank Vinny's dad. He called us the pasta broom on Twitter, and that made me happy.
He also let me know, you know, like maybe an hour ago that he has ziti in the fridge. So we are inspiring people to eat more pasta, apparently.
That's just what he has. It's a Sunday. I guarantee you there's always a ziti in the fridge on Sunday.
Okay.
Because he lives on a pure schedule and eats the same thing for lunch every day for the past like 25 years. That thing is ziti.
Oh my God. Well, okay.
You know what? So it's a perfect dish. What is there to improve?
We're maintaining the status quo. You said,
"Aren't you vegan?"
I'm vegan, but you can have vegan ziti.
Wait, hold on. Is pasta not vegan?
No, pasta's vegan.
I guess the cheese part.
Not necessarily, but yeah, the cheese part is not vegan.
You can do vegan cheese, and there's vegan meat. Everything you can do vegan. It's fine.
Is there vegan Ed Chavez's birthday? You said that's happening.
It is. Today is the birthday of Ed Chavez.
Chavez, sorry. I assume that when you say that, you mean Sunday, July 17th, not when people are hearing this tomorrow. Anyway, this is not the pasta broom. This is the news broom. We talk about all the anime news from the previous week. And it's pretty much all Anime News Network. Let me get open the actual outline of the intro. We record it on Sundays. It comes out on Mondays. It's an hour long. We're on Twitter. We're on Apple. We're on Google. We're on Spotify. I finally fixed the voicemail. We found this out when we recorded the No Name show the other day. The voicemail, which is 716-46-MOE-43. That's 716-466-6343. It was not working. So,
our bad.
My bad. It turned out that when you called the voicemail, it went right to my phone number, which probably confused a lot of people when I would answer and say, "Hello, hello, who is this?" And then they just hang up. That's why I was getting all these calls from Alabama. Apparently, it's people trying to leave voicemails.
Was it like Basil and the Awesome Cast people?
I don't know who it was that was trying to leave voicemails, but...
All we know is we're sorry. Try to leave it again.
Well, one of our listeners, Ed the Crimson, pointed this out to me, but I don't know who all of the other missed voicemails were. But it was, you know, maybe once every other week I would get a missed call from Alabama, and it was really confusing. And it turns out that's just how the forwarding works. It forwards it from an Alabama number, I guess. I don't know. But you can leave us voicemails, and you can also talk about the news.
Where are the demons? Bring on the pain!
Fortunately, this week, nothing miserable, nothing history-making. So, you know, I know that boring news isn't always exciting, but after last week, we could really use a break. Because what was it only last week that it
was just last week? How dare you say that the live action Knights of the Zodiac film is not history making?
I mean, they, I don't know, when is Comic-Con happening?
This next weekend?
Oh, is it? All right, well, let's jump into something earth-shattering. At Comic-Con on July 23rd, we're going to get our first look at the live action Knights of the Zodiac. I didn't even know this was in production.
I actually think this is kind of weird. I think this was filmed like years ago and has been sitting in a can.
Oh, wow.
And it's a weird cast. It's like half very Western names, right? You got like Famke Janssen, and you have Sean Bean, and then you have like a bunch of people who are like on Rurouni Kenshin and stuff. So like there's a good smattering of East and West here. This is going to be a lot, I think.
Yeah. So you said this may have been announced years ago, or it may have been in.
I think it might have been filmed years ago. Yeah, if my tool is to be believed.
Interesting. Well, I guess we're maybe going to get a trailer or some pictures. Who could say? But that is going to be at Comic-Con. Yeah, it looks like next weekend. But, you know, it's also I jumped ahead in the news. This is one from last week that I didn't put on the list because I wanted to only have 69 news items, despite this coming out before some of the other stuff I reported on. Bocchi the Rock is a TV show, and it has had a October premiere announced. I don't know if this is about anything
interesting. This does sound like something you would watch, JP.
A lonely high school girl whose heart lies in her guitar? She just plays guitar all day. Okay, yeah, you're right.
I knew it.
I've heard of this before, so I wonder if the manga was doing pretty well. Because this is a familiar name. Anyway, when I said that it was all great news, I meant most of it. We do have an update on Kazuki Takahashi. We speculated last week that maybe he was eaten by a shark because some people were saying that online, and the autopsy has concluded that he did not get eaten by a shark. He, in fact, died by drowning, which is not great, but I guess it's better than being eaten by a shark. I'm not really sure. I'm kind of mixed on that. Like, if I had to choose between drowning and eaten by a shark, shark probably more painful, but definitely sounds cooler in a headline.
Yeah, just, I mean, I'd rather be, I don't know.
I'd rather be alive.
Yeah, no, me too. I'm just saying.
Damn, you guys got me.
So, more Kaguya-sama Love is War news. I've come dangerously close to buying the manga, but that's not the news. There's a movie, and it's going to air on TV after it finishes its theatrical run, it sounds like. I don't know if it's clear how long that theatrical run is. I'm trying to see if the film is out yet. I cannot tell from my quick look at this news article, but, you know, this is likely Japan only. So we're going to have to wait longer to get that movie, but I'm sure it'll come out because the series is doing very well. Let's see. We have some Discotech news. So these are previously announced titles, but they have announced release dates for several of their titles. This is September 2. I think I cut off the date.
September 27th.
Yes, that's what I thought. I fucked up my copy paste. September 27th for these titles. We have some Blu-rays. We have Symphogear GX, Yurusei Yatsura, The Final Chapter. That is a film. Konosuba, looks like Series 2, is getting a steelbook. Then we have some standard definition Blu-ray. There is Beelzebub and Sayuki Reload Gunlock.
Don't forget, we're also getting the Tales of Phantasia OVAs.
Oh, I guess I accidentally deleted that too. My bad. We're off to a great start on this episode. I don't know. This batch, I'll probably get Urusei Yatsura just because I've been getting all the other films. Not sure if any of the others are for me.
I'm really curious about the Tales of Phantasia OVA. That's the first Tales game, for anyone who is not aware. I think it got its first initial release on the Game Boy Advance, even though it was originally an SNES game. I played it. It's pretty good. I'd like to see at least what that OVA looks like. So, and of course, Yurusei Yatsura always down.
Yeah, I'm not sure why I've been compelled to buy the movies. But I have been. I haven't watched any of them yet, but I believe they've... Well, this is like the fifth one, I think. So I must have one through four. Or I still need to buy the... Oh, it looks like there's six movies total.
Chris Ayatsu movies are really good.
I've seen Beautiful Dreamer, but it's been a very long time.
You should definitely look, pop in that Blu-ray. Beautiful. I mean, it's in the title, right?
That's Oshii, right?
Yes, yeah, the first two are. Okay, although whenever I hear two. Beautiful Dreamer, I hear it sung by Bugs Bunny.
Oh, God. So this next piece is a little interesting. Pokemon Company is working on what I assume is a reality TV series revolving around their trading card game that will be taking place in Los Angeles. Not sure how I feel about that. We have some manga that is going to be ending. The hero is overpowered but overly cautious. That is about Well, probably somebody that's overpowered and has anxiety would be my guess. That is ending in 3 chapters. Let me see if we have an exact date for that. I am not... 34th chapter launched on Friday. So yeah, I guess in a couple of weeks, that one will be ending. And then Parallel Paradise, that is nearing its climax.
This wow, is, did you say that intentionally?
That is the headline? Okay. So this is from the creator of Elfin Lied. And if that's not a name that instills fear in you, then you're one of the fortunate few that doesn't know what Elfin Lied is. But this,
so yeah, so this is a ridiculous premise. I went, what, when I read it? It's basically, he's the last man. But also, whenever he touches a woman, they become overcome with this desire. Nice. Great job. Let's do that.
So it's like DNA squared?
Is that what that's about?
Well, no, that's the one where the guy gets... someone from the future comes and it's like trying to kill him, but they shoot him with the wrong bullet. And it makes him like extra virile and like women more into him.
Oh my God. I've seen that name for what, probably 2 decades now. And I had no idea that's what it was about. I'm not sure. I feel like that was maybe from somebody that I should know.
I don't know who did it. CPM put it out initially.
Oh, I meant the creator. Oh yeah. It's Masakazu Katsura, that bastard, who also did Aisu and is probably best known as the character designer for Tiger and Bunny, or at least the original character designer. But anyway, Parallel Paradise is ending at some point. You know, nearing its climax could mean years. It could mean weeks. We've seen this mean many things.
They could really edge it out.
Yes, they could. Bad news for fans of 86 spinoffs, I guess. I think it was last week, we talked about a manga version of 86 that was ending due to author health concerns. Or like the people making the manga, I don't believe it's the original author. Yeah. It's a light novel. So there's a prequel manga called Fragmental Neoteny, and that is ending in its 3rd volume. It probably is unrelated to the other one. It may just be a coincidence because it is a different team that makes this manga.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I'm actually checking into 86. I think it sounds like an interesting premise, so I'm going to watch a couple episodes. But reading this, it kind of seems like a weird... it doesn't seem like a series that needed a prequel. That's all I'm going to say.
So I don't know a lot about 86, but I know that the production has been fraught with peril. That was one of the ones where every week we seem to be announcing that there was like another animation delay. And it wasn't necessarily like a labor issue. At least if it was, they didn't like say it outward. And then, you know, we have that manga that's probably got canceled, and the prequel series, or not the prequel.
I mean, it is named 86, right? The universal term for restaurants for scratch that.
Yes, that's correct. This next one is very funny. In the wake of, what is it called? Biscuit Hammer.
Lucifer and Biscuit Hammer.
And Trigun getting anime adaptations. The manga artist, or the mangaka from And Yet the Town Moves, which I probably have their name here, Masakazu Ishiguro, they posted on Twitter that they will not be getting an anime. Apparently, all of these manga ran in the same magazine, and they jokingly asked their editor, like, hey, is there anything in the work for my thing? And they said, no.
It's funny, because his ran the longest. So that's like also why he's kind of like tongue-in-cheek here, of just like, hey, like, mine was the most successful, so I'm going to get more. And they're like, nah, sorry.
Well, apparently it already had a show.
But it was a pretty short show, from what I recall. I mean, considering that the manga ran from 2005 to 2016, and it's like a one-series show, there's still a lot on the table there.
I can't say I know anything about And Yet the Town Moves. I can say that I watched the first episode of Lucifer and Biscuit Hammer, and it was okay, I guess. That seems to be the consensus on Twitter. It's like, yeah, it was all right. We have another manga that is, these are going on hiatus, one of them indefinitely, the other one question mark. Stage S and Kiruru Kill Me. I believe it's Stage S that is indefinite hiatus. And, oh wait, no. Am I doing that right?
Stage S, they said that it's because of the author's health and it might be back in a few days. But the other one is indefinite, I believe.
Got it. I'm not familiar with either of those, but...
I'll just tell you, the premise for Kill Me made me really laugh.
Oh, yeah, is that the one where the guy, like, hires a beautiful assassin because he wants to date her?
Yep, courting danger. I love it. I'm sure it's, like, more generic and actual... I mean, I hope it's not as generic as, like... every time I hear a great premise now, I'm just like, this probably is, like, totally toned down in, like, a flavor. But I hope that it's as funny as it actually sounds.
Well, it's like a horny version of Bullworth. A movie I've never seen, but for some reason is stuck in my mind.
Bullworth, huh?
That's about a politician that puts a hit out on himself, I believe. Anyway. Oh, that's also the plot of Golgo 13. Okay, moving on. So Santa Inoue, they have a manga called Zange. The season 2, quote unquote, has just ended, and it will be getting another part. This name is maybe best known for Tokyo Tribes, which I've not seen, but I know that there is a very graphic clip that would get shared at anime conventions for a long time. So I'm not sure. I assume Noel reads this manga because every time we say that, he's like pounding his table when he listens to the podcast. Speaking of Golgo 13... it was announced recently in the first volume of their spin-off series, Gunsmith Dave, that Golgo 13 has over 300 million copies in circulation, which is kind of cool, but also Golgo 13's been in circulation for a very long time. I'm surprised that it's only 300 million.
I mean, it's the longest currently running, it outlived the author. That doesn't happen that often.
Yeah, it's been going since 1969 at this point. So that feels like reasonable for a popular series. It's been like globally released.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I suppose that it hasn't really, at least insofar as America, like we didn't really get I think we got a couple volumes of like assorted stories, but we didn't really get the Golgo 13 manga here.
Yeah, there's been a few releases, and I think you can get on Comixology, at least. Carl Horn curated, 13 best-of volumes. But if you haven't read it, I do recommend reading those.
We got it surprisingly early, though. I mean, we got, that NES game, right? I think it was called The Professional. That's pretty early, all things considered.
I mean, it is the first commercially released manga in the U.S.,
Oh, don't call the Duke for nothing.
We did get all of the anime. I know that.
That was not that much.
One of them was 50 episodes long.
Yeah, okay. But for a thing that's been running since the 50s, since the 60s.
That's fair.
It's been a movie, an OVA, and, 50 episodes. I could have a Golgo 13 episode every week the rest of my life, and I'd be happy.
Speaking of Golgo 13, the anime... this is something that we talked about on the No Name show, but I guess we might as well give lip service to it. There was a catastrophe over at High Dive where 80-something titles went offline for a while, Golgo 13 being among them. My understanding is it's since been sorted out, that they were migrating servers or something. But that was an interesting couple of days on Twitter.
Was that even a couple? I thought that was one weird day.
It may have been one afternoon. I don't have a concept of time, Vinny.
I mean, I know I panic bought some stuff in case gone.
They have a really good sale right now sometimes.
Yeah, it was part of their summer sale. I'm like, oh God, what if Votoms and Dunbine disappear? I need to have those.
I wonder, knowing Sentai Filmworks, it would not surprise me if that was a publicity stunt, because they used to do crazy shit like that all the time.
I don't want to believe that. I much prefer they're stupid than...
Too clever?
Oh, yeah. They're too clever. I don't think they're too clever for their own good on this one.
There was this was years ago, but I remember the website Good Old Games announced that they were going out of business as a joke. to get people to advertise their website. They're like, yeah, we don't have a marketing budget, so we just wanted some press. This next one, this is some video game news. God forbid some people with a shitload of money make 1% less shitloads of money. It is being predicted that the video game industry will decline by 1.2% by the end of the year, going from, I think I have the numbers in here, from $195 billion to, wait, am I reading that right? So they're at 188.
No, see, oh, they're expected to bounce back. Market research people, they predicted a 1.2 drop, but then Ampere thinks that it's going to bounce back and it's going to be even bigger by 2023. So it's kind of like, okay.
I wonder how they come up with these numbers. That's so specific. 1.2%.
Well, you've got to sacrifice a goat under the full moon.
Okay.
And then if you look at the entrails, that'll tell you.
Yes.
That's how all economics works, actually, guys. I mean, it's all lies.
Yeah, but then you also have to check it on a photo of Paul Krugman, right? And you have to see how the blood dries into specific patterns. It's very, very complex.
Who is that?
He is an economist, I think, at NYU now. He also writes for he's like the progressive economist at the New York Times. Op-ed page.
So great news for fans of Yashahime. I know all three of them listen to this podcast. If you watch Toonami every Saturday, you know, which is very late at night, Yashahime's second season will start airing on July 30th. I really don't know why this took so long. So the first season had the same issue. Like, Inuyasha was a big deal for Adult Swim. And when the, you know, spinoff series came out, it must have been like 6 months to a year before it hit Adult Swim, even though the simuldub was being made. Like, you could watch it on like Funimation's website. And, you know, similar with season two, you know, I think it's been done for 6 months or more now. Anyway.
But remember, like, anime's come a long way, like in the West and, you know, in the East both, right? Since Inuyasha was like the new shit.
I understand how anime fans have such
most of them are only watching new stuff, right? They don't care about anything that came out like within the last maybe year. So
I understand that this is fast, but like Attack on Titan and My Hero were getting, you know, a few weeks delay, but they were getting new episodes on Adult Swim.
But those exploded.
Yeah, those are popular.
So is Inuyasha.
Let's put it this way. The fact that we could reasonably be considered the most definitive podcast on Yashahime.
Yes.
I'm pretty confident in saying that. And so that tells you everything you need to say.
Okay, fair. They did kind of drop the jewel, so to speak. Jewels are ball
shaped. There has not been new Inuyasha anime since 2010. And that's if you include the final act.
Yeah. So.
It's a long time ago, and no one gave a shit then.
Well, I did. I never watched Final Act. I'm a terrible Inuyasha fan. Like, I'm really just here for
the original Inuyasha series ended in 2004.
Yeah. Well, I think they, like, I don't have an excuse for that.
Like, it's a nostalgia show at most. It's only meant for old weirdos like us.
Well,
wreck JP.
If you want to watch Yashahime and live tweet with the Toonami faithful, it's going to be at 12:30 a.m. Eastern time.
When you should probably be in bed.
You can watch it streaming on Crunchyroll and time your tweets if you really want to be a part of the conversation.
Watch them early and then schedule your tweets. That's great.
Yeah.
That's a little extra.
Dedication to the Hime, man.
I'm here for that level of dedication.
I was reading in the forums that production was fraught with peril. I think that's the second time I've used that phrase. That people were arguing behind the scenes about who the final boss in the series would be and whether the final fight would be in the present time or the past. This is, of course, very apparent when you watch the train wreck of an ending. Glad that we were able to talk about Yashahime a bunch. So it shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody, but Chainsaw Man has been ranking very high if we look at the book scan list for graphic novels. Chainsaw Man has the number one spot with volume 11. I believe there is also volume 10 is on here at number 14. I think that's all the Chainsaw Man on here. Spy Family is also on ranking at several spots. Jujutsu Kaisen, as well as Demon Slayer and Toilet Bound, Hanako-kun.
To be fair, though, this is just, I think, indicative of how much like manga is selling. Because I think last time I did this, only 18 of the top 20 were manga. Now, all 20 of 20 are manga.
Oh, look at that.
Also should point out this is the adult graphic novel list specifically. But yes, it is a pure manga list controlling the graphic novel world. It has been really the case for quite a while.
We got Kyle's favorite, Wodokoi, Volume 6 on here? I didn't realize that series was that popular.
Kyle's favorite, like, just for anything that might may or may not be.
To be fair, I do think that the manga is probably good. I just think the animation, the anime version is terrible.
So, speaking of manga, there's a service I've never heard of called Tapas. And they're getting a manga called Do You Remember Me? It looks like it's launching with 20 chapters by the time you hear this podcast.
Huh.
What is it?
This is from the mangaka behind Princess Jellyfish, for anyone who doesn't know.
Oh, that's cool. It looks like it's about somebody reminiscing on their childhood crush.
This is kind of unique. It's about a perpetually overworked and overtime clocking 30-something gossip magazine writer. And the story begins when she reminisces on her crush. And, you know, from that mangaka, like, hell yeah, I'd love to check it out. I don't know, though, if I'm going to be checking out this random web manga service I've never heard of.
I've used it only because Retro Sofa's comic is on there. No More Mermaids.
Nice. Is it any good? Not the mermaids. I meant the service.
It's fine. I don't know. I mean, I don't tend to use like webtoons or anything either. So,
is this an exclusive to this service? Like, is it available nowhere else?
It might be. I mean, it's kind of like webtoons in that way.
I guess it's unclear based on this story whether that's the case. But we have some Emmy news because the Emmy nominations were released earlier this past week, and there were two anime-related bits. There might have been three, actually. So, Star Wars Visions, the, what do you call it, the anime Star Wars thing, one of their shorts called The Duel, was nominated in the shorts category. I think there was one called, like, oh goodness, where is it? Love, Death, and Robots is an animated anthology. Is that anime? They keep mentioning it in here.
No, it's just animated, it's on Netflix.
Okay. But then, of course, everyone's favorite live-action series, Cowboy Bebop, the title sequence was nominated. And it makes me wonder if there just aren't a lot of great title sequences, because I liked the Cowboy Bebop live-action, and the title sequence was lackluster.
It also feels weird, because it is just, like, a direct rip of the animated title sequence.
Yeah. It looks more like a fan production.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah. I just watched it for the first time today, and I didn't realize they just, like, made essentially, like, an AMV or, like, a fan film for the opening.
You know, speaking of AMVs, the Otakon schedule came out the other day, and I am going to be doing a panel in AMV Theater at 11:30 on Friday, which is very nearly the first panel of the day.
Oh, you'll be fine. I mean, Otakon always, in my experience, has, like, that first panel will still fill up because enough people get their badges the night before.
It's at the same time as opening ceremonies.
Which no one goes to.
And it is followed up by an Anime World Order panel, so that should be fun. But that is going to be Friday at 11:30. It is called The Sound of Anime.
You just need to sell it better, JP. You just got to say you're the opener for AWO.
Well, yeah, I'm the opener for Anime World Order. Come get me. I don't know where to go. But, you know, speaking of sound in anime, this next one is fucking wild.
Yeah.
And what's crazy about this is that this isn't even the first time this has happened. There's an anime based on ASMR, but not just that. It's based on somebody getting like reincarnated as one of those oral microphone heads that you see in ASMRs. And let's see. It is, the title translates to "Caught Between a Yuri Relationship, My Life After I Become a Dummy Head Microphone One Morning."
But this dummy head looks more like an Easter Island Stonehead totem.
Well, I mean, this is what those things look like. I don't know if you've ever seen the microphone heads. Like, these are a real thing, and this is what they look like.
I've seen them, but it's not this one in particular.
I prefer that one than when they look like just like an actual head.
Well, yeah, that would be terrifying.
Those are creepier. Well, I saw a Broadway play like that, actually, where it really, like, looked like a face.
Oh.
No, did you read the whole story? Like, did you read what it's actually about?
I did not get that far.
All right, let me just blow your minds. These high school girls have their sights set on the ASMR Koshien High School Championships. So apparently, across Japan, high school girls compete in ASMR.
Oh my god,
that premise alone is terrible and stupid.
I love it.
They can't make it as cool as like the level I'd want it. will it be Birdie Wing?
I was thinking Bento.
Say again, same level of like absurd.
There's going to be a lot of whispering in that anime series, so get your headphones, folks.
What's insane is that this is like a follow. I don't think it's related, but this group, like the staff behind this, has already made an ASMR anime, and I cannot find a. Let me see if I can find an English translation of the title. Can I make your ears happy in 180 seconds?
My ears happy in 180 seconds.
It's like porn.
This was a crowdfunded anime, so
give the people what they want.
Yeah,
porn.
Yes, I'm all for it. Give me more of this nonsense. More sound related anime news. So, did either of you see people talking about Isekai Island?
No, this is the stupidest thing. Like, I was going through this article, and it just got worse and worse.
It does get progressively worse the more you read it. So there is a NFT anime being made called Isekai Island. There's a trailer that's out. It's terrible. And
it's part of the Isekai verse. Fucking kill me.
And so apparently Now Voice This, which is a voiceover competition founded by Chuck Huber, who I'm pretty sure is a flat earther and like COVID conspiracy guy. We'll say allegedly, because I don't know if either of those are true. And
aren't there allegations against him?
I don't know if there's, I'm not sure. There may be. I know that he was one of the people that testified on behalf of Vic Mignogna. And he was one of the few anime voice actors that was going out like during lockdown to do conventions, to like the three that decided to have conventions anyway. But I don't know about any allegations.
I think all three of the main three from Vic's Star Trek show have allegations.
Chuck Huber was, and he was Star Dr. Trek McCoy.
Oh, he was in, yeah, he was Dr. McCoy in Vic's Star Trek thing.
Well, so. That voiceover competition, I know that I think he was accused of like, not nepotism, like cronyism within the voiceover competition. But anyway, they were originally going to be working with this NFT series, and now they are not.
Again, companies, just don't. Save yourselves the apologies and the bad blood. Just don't. Especially not something that looks as awful and generic as Isekai versus Isekai Island.
Oh, man. What was great is in the forums, people were saying, why can't we have a competition for anime that would never get a dub, like Laidback Camp? And I thought, like, you know that we can't just dub anything. Like, we can, but you have to get permission and sign contracts. You can't just, like, hey, you know, what if we just do a voiceover competition for, I don't know. What's a popular show? Birdie Wing.
Legend of the Galactic Heroes version 1.
Legend of the Galactic Heroes. The Sega Genesis Mini 2 is something that we've talked about in the past. It now has a launch date. It is coming out in North America on the 27th.
As before, it was just a Japan only. So this is pretty exciting for people who don't want to have to import.
Oh, that's cool. Shinichiro Watanabe is directing a animated short called A Girl Meets a Boy and a Robot. When I originally read this, because I always mix up their names, I thought this was the Excel Saga guy, and I almost skipped over this. But yeah, there's going to be a short.
As Terran Resonance, you know, aside, we like Shinichiro Watanabe.
Yeah, he does good stuff.
Yeah.
I still
Everything
need to watch Space Dandy.
Everything he does is worth at least checking out.
Correct.
I still need to watch Carol on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one. One Piece and, what is it, Ichiro Oda and Gosho Oyama, who created Detective Conan, have teamed up for like a double interview thing, which is really interesting because apparently they work for rival publishers and the interviews will be published like half in one periodical and half in the other one. So that's,
it's like when a DC and Marvel crossover happens, they have to, you know, the lawyers get involved and make sure that each one gets the same amount of appearances. And you know what I mean?
Yeah. See, I was thinking that's like, you know, there's a special building that North Korea and South Korea have in the DMZ where they can meet.
Oh my God.
And like, this is the level of like protection that they need for these two magazines to interact. Or the exact number of frames Bugs Bunny and Mickey Mouse appear in.
Exactly.
Have there been Bugs Bunny, Mickey Mouse team-ups?
Yeah. Roger Rabbit.
Oh, fair enough.
Like they counted the frames that they both appear in, so they only appear together.
Wow. Speaking of collabs, everyone's favorite two things, Ninjala and Tokyo Revengers, are teaming up on July 20th, which is my sister's birthday, so maybe this is her present.
But it's a present for you, right? Because you're the only one who... I don't think... Does she like Ninjala?
I don't think anybody likes Ninjala.
Every time Ninjala comes up, I gotta remember, what the fuck is Ninjala?
This is so weird. It's, I guess, some gacha game on the Switch, and it's going to have 10 Tokyo Revengers costumes that you can, I don't know, roll for? I don't know what you do in gacha games. I have no idea what Ninjala is.
Let's see, a lot of these, like... As someone who's only aware of the Tokyo Revengers half of this, like half of these don't even look like the characters. Like the character who plays Mikey or whatever, that like it looks awful. It looks like I don't even know what that is.
It's very silly. Tokyo Revengers first omnibus is coming out soon. And I know that the next season of the anime is coming out at some point. If you're a fan of The Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime, which you're probably not if you're listening to this podcast, there's a movie, and it's coming out November 25th. Something that I do know we have fans of, Pue Pue Malkar.
Malkar.
Which is that, like, stop-motion hamster show.
They're guinea pigs.
Guinea
hamsters. Much felt.
I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I think that's been apparent since the creation of this podcast. There's more of that coming out in October, so get ready for that. Oh, look at this.
That's exciting. I like Pui Pui Malkar.
I didn't even post the headline for this next one. That's cool. This is actually about Ursa Yatsura, and I just forgot to post the headline. They were saying that it is premiering on October, and it will be 4 cores total, with 2 of them running consecutively, and then there will be a break, and presumably the other half will air later.
I mean, this is going to be part of the Noitamina block, so like, I hope that that means that it looks better than what I've seen of it.
Yeah, I thought it was strange that it was, because that's a late night block, isn't it?
A lot of good stuff premieres during that block.
Oh, so no, I know. It's a lot.
There are only late night blocks left, though. There really isn't a lot of daytime anime anymore, or like primetime anime anymore.
That's fair. TV is kind of dead. This next piece of news I put in for Kyle because he knows things about video games and I don't. Nintendo acquired something?
Yes, they acquired the Tokyo-based visual production company Dynamo Pictures, which They haven't done a ton. So they've been involved with doing some, like, usually backup work for other studios, CG. So they worked on some of the sequences in Standalone Complex 2045. They did some work on Final Fantasy XV's Kingsglaive, you know, that movie. Mm-hmm. They've done some work on, like, Yuri on Ice. But they're not, and they've done a lot of motion capture work for other studios. Like, they have a motion capture setup. So I guess this is a big news just in that, like, Nintendo getting more into the film, you know, or kind of a animation branch. It makes sense considering that they have their upcoming Super Mario movie, mm-hmm. which we're all wondering about. I was going to say dreading, but we're mostly just dreading what will turn out to be Chris Pratt's awful Mario voice.
Don't worry, he's not speaking Italian. He's speaking normal.
Oh, that's better. I don't know. We're all just like, this isn't going to end well. But it's going to have Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong, so it could be worse.
So, does speaking normal mean anything but Italian?
I don't know, but that was the quote he said in an article.
Oh, I didn't realize that was a quote from him.
Yeah, that's a quote. I would not say that.
I was like, man, Vinny, that's bold. Anyway.
Yeah. So, you know, like, this is a big move for them, but, like, it's also, they're not a big company. Like, this, they bought them for, it says 34.5 million yen, which is less than, it's like $245,000. So, I don't think this is going to be a big time play.
Something that could be big. No, probably not. The Ancient Magus Bride? I don't know what this show is. There is, presumably this is an OVA or a movie. It's called The Boy from the West and the Night of the Blue Storm. That is going to be on Crunchyroll, and it's dubbed. It must have already happened because they're writing this in present tense. The Makoto Shinkai Suzume no Tojimari has posted an English subtitled trailer. Normally I don't talk about trailers, but I'm really interested in this film. When they say subtitled, it's kind of a cop-out because most of it is a song. There's only one line of dialogue at the end. But it looks like a fun movie. It looks at least very pretty. I don't know if either of you watched it.
I did. I think that this has me hopeful because I believe that people were pretty down on the last Shinkai movie. Weathering With You?
I liked Weathering With You, but I also, that's the only Shinkai film I've seen.
Right. So you just don't have a good enough sample size to say for sure that's where it true. Ranks.
Didn't care for Weathering With You, and I liked Your Name. Like, knowing that it's definitely very much key to make people feel things.
Yeah. I feel like this is probably a good direction. I'm really, let's say, over this series, I've watched a lot of stuff where I'm initially excited, then we find out more and more, and I just get, like, the dread. And I'm sure that comes across over the mic. But this, the more I see of it, I'm very optimistic.
It's a Shinkai. I'll see it when it hits theaters. It always looks good in a big screen, no matter what he does. Even his Ghibli ripoff film or his foot movie.
Oh man, that's the movie we need to be talking about, JP. Right? This is anime time. What's the best feat? It's a Shinkai foot.
I don't like Garden of Words, but I am not ink.
That's a foot movie?
Oh, it's a big foot movie.
It's like the foot movie. Like, if you're saying, like, anime feet, that is the
okay.
I'll have to watch it for a no name show or something.
It's like 30 minutes long, I think, total.
Jesus. So
it's feet and poetry and rain.
More movie news. This is a series I'm not familiar with called Aikatsu Mirai e no Stairway. And apparently at the end of the recent film that came out, there was a teaser for another movie coming out next year, I think. I read through this a few times and I cannot tell what's going on.
What the anime? What the premise is?
Well, because they call, like, the 10th story, which they say the 10th anniversary, but I've never heard of this, but it's apparently been out for 10 years. I don't know what's going on. It takes place in 2012 to 2016. That's neat. I don't know. If you like that, you're getting more. So, hooray. We also have... Oh, what is this one? Oh, this was like a really kind of I don't know, mysterious trailer. I skimmed through it and it wasn't a whole lot of animation going on. It is a comedy series called Four Nin Wa Sorizono Zore. Ugh, Uso. There's got to be an English version of this. I don't know why I try this. It means four people lie in their own way. I always say the Japanese title like our listeners know what I'm saying. It's very, very weird. So this is a comedy about a space pilot, a ninja without a clan, a girl with superpowers, and a boy in girl's clothes. I don't know about this one, but, you know, it's getting a show in October. We have, oh, this next one is awesome. It's called High Speed Etoile, maybe? It's a racing anime that is about, like, driving a car that can go 310 miles an hour safely.
No, you didn't say the best part is it looks like it is 100% Photoshopped.
Oh, I didn't know that part.
Like, no, just like, I'm not saying it is, but will you scroll down and see the image that they put and just tell me that does not look like a rush Photoshop job?
Oh, yeah, that's pretty great. But also the, oh, God, did I just exit out of the news? Here it is. The premise, it's about Rin, who once dreamed of being a ballerina, but then she had to give up her dream due to an injury, then became a neat and like plays games at her grandma's house, but one day she starts racing.
The best part is her name is Rin Rindo.
Yeah.
That is a true story. They should just make an anime about a character named Rin Rindo and the life that they have to live where their names are the same.
That's what this is.
And she also races.
You're
great.
Not going to believe this. Netflix, they have a show called Sex Education. I believe that's starring Gillian Anderson, who people may know as Scully from the X-Files. That's getting a manga. That's a weird one. Spy Classroom, that's a show. Probably. It's coming out in 2023. So, I don't know. Rejoice.
Yay!
You know what else is really exciting? Yu Yu Hakusho. Yu Yu Hakusho live action set the internet on fire the other day, because everybody seems to have forgotten that this was announced a year ago.
But it's because it was one of those like non-announcements that they only put out like, it's like one like word, like this is coming. Like they should stop doing that. If you don't have anything to show, don't fucking show anything.
Well, they do have things to show now because they've shown pictures of Yusuke and Kurama. And I guess like a teaser picture of some other stuff. I am going to reserve judgment until this comes out. It is weird. I feel like shows like One Piece and Yu Yu Hakusho don't necessarily translate well to live action, but I also consider that, I don't know, think about something like Charmed is essentially just Yu Yu Hakusho with ladies.
Anyway. Let me just say this. I believe that this is a Japanese-produced and directed adaptation.
Yes, that's correct.
I think they should be doing that more. Like, you know, I think, like, firstly, I think that Japan has shown that they have a better grasp on the anime to live action pipeline.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you don't have to like Rurouni Kenshin in terms of like what the creator's done to say like, oh, yeah, like that looks good. It looks like
Rurouni Kenshin. I would be very curious as to their hit rate versus Western hit rate. I think they're both going to be low.
The Kenshin movies did really well. I haven't seen them, but I know that they did well.
Yeah, and they look really good, right? Like you don't look at it and go like, oh my God, this looks like a fan production. Like we just said several seconds ago about Cowboy Bebop. So yeah, do more of this. Give Japan some money and let them make some stuff.
You know, who maybe shouldn't make stuff? The people that wrote the script for the Netflix Resident Evil series. I didn't even know this was a thing, but they like wrote some dialogue about decadence being a hard to find anime. I have the clip of them saying it.
What's going on?
Simon's got the new decadence. It's the super hard to get anime.
Not that hard. It's on Naya.
Which also definitely pronounced Nya, but
yeah,
I have real issues with them just like giving away a torrent site.
Yeah,
it's especially weird because right, this had to have been okayed by the Japan side. Like they have to okay this shit.
I mean, they didn't necessarily read through every script. I think what's funnier about this though is that decadence is not hard to find. It's on Crunchyroll. But maybe at the time that they wrote the script, it was. I don't know. but I guess why?
It just seems that it seems real weird to be like, you got to torrent this new popular show.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, people are saying that, like, I've seen too many people who've watched it, and they're just like, have these writers ever played a Resident Evil game? Like, it seems like a really weird adaptation of just, like, they kind of had a property, and there's some, like, things taken from it, but, like we're talking, like, a creature, like, a design, but it just seems, like, really bizarre in general.
Is it one of those ones where they had a script in one hand and a license in the other and just kind of, like, glue them together?
Yeah, that's very much what it seems like.
So Dropkick My Devil has started an official YouTube account, and it is getting hella views. This is a interesting demonstration of when you give people what they want, they will probably stop pirating it.
You didn't say come.
Did I say, I'm sorry?
No, I'm glad you didn't say come.
Oh, okay. Not this time. No, apparently some people had leaked some Dropkick My Devil like clips, and this YouTube clip was doing very well, and the people that make the series were not too happy about that. So they made a YouTube channel and released that clip officially, and they got something like 1,000% increase in views or something since they put that clip up. I don't know anything about this show, but I think that's
it includes a cameo of Hatsune Miku.
Yeah.
You know, like that, like, yeah, it turns out if you put like famous thing in thing that people will see, then they'll probably check in to watch a short teaser.
Yeah. So more Nintendo news. This is in regards to same-sex partnerships in Japan. In Japan, that is still not legally recognized, but Nintendo of Japan is saying that they are going to give same-sex couples the same benefits as heterosexual couples. I assume they mean in regards to, like, I don't know, like employment packages? I don't really know how benefits are handled in Japan. But pretty cool. And what people are predicting in the, what do you call it, the forums, is that this kind of is across the board, like domestic partnerships in general may be recognized under this new policy.
Yeah, good of Nintendo doing this, but it shouldn't be down to individual companies. So
oh, yeah.
Fix your shit.
What else? Oh, this. There is a show called Endo and Kobayashi Live, the latest on Tsundere Villainous Lysolotte. That is coming out in January. What I thought was the most interesting about this is the composers working on this show have worked on two other shows about villainesses. My Next Life is a Villainess, as well as I'm the Villainess. So I'm Taming the Final Boss. All three of these shows are unrelated. If you live in Los Angeles and like Demon Slayer and take the train, you could ride a Demon Slayer train, I guess. Apparently this was a thing that was happening before, and this is its like return. There is not currently a time limit on this, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've seen other things that have wraps on the light rail here. Haven't seen an anime one yet, but...
Yeah,
I mean, this came out last year for the movie Mugen Train, right? So it's pretty natural.
Oh, so then this is... Okay, that's what they mean by return. Okay. There was an anime short. It's like 10 minutes long in relation to Blue Archive, which is a game. This is for its 1.5 anniversary. I just thought this was funny because I skimmed through it and it seems to just be like, let's put all of our characters in swimsuits. Maybe that's what the show's already about or the game is already about, but it just like, it looked like them just trying on different bikinis and shooting guns. And I thought that
was
very
funny. So it's
like
every OVA?
Yes. Crunchyroll is going to be streaming the dub of Shoot Goal to the Future. Or it says stream, so it's probably already out. That is a soccer anime. What else? We have the manga Reverse Edge. That has ended. That is from the... It looks like the team that made Old Boy, or at least one of the people was responsible for Old Boy. They passed away a couple of years ago, and I guess the manga came back just this year and is now wrapping up.
Oh, see, the guy who wrote this, this is one of his aliases. He has multiple, and he is the original mangaka, though, behind the Old Boy.
Yeah, correct. And then finally, we have a new Duel Masters anime and manga that are coming out, it looks like, this summer and fall. So the anime comes out in September. It looks like the manga will come out August 12th. We have some Toonami ratings. I don't have anything to compare them to because last week was a Shenmue marathon. But numbers look healthy for the most part. If you compare them to last year around the same time, they're more or less the same across the board. They are obviously different shows, but it's nice that they're not all, I don't know. They were really bad for a while and they're starting to go back up.
Have we hit the point where they were bad last year and they sort of like leveled out to that point?
Yeah, it's, we'll see what happens when we get to the winter again, because that's when they were the worst. But they were also doing like a ton of marathons and they were doing off weeks where it's like, hey, let's show, I don't know, the Harley Quinn show this week, or let's show a Batman movie this week. And they just kept mixing up the schedule, so I think people were getting frustrated. Whereas this year has been a lot of newer shows, or at least Adult Swim premieres. And now on to our top 10. I cheated and looked at these ahead of time. It's going to blow your fucking mind.
I just saw. That's wild.
Yeah, we go to our Blu-rays. We have Uzaki-chan at number 10, Full Metal Panic, Invisible Victory, that must be Classroom, at number 9, Blood Blockade, Battlefront and Beyond, at number 8, The Book of Bantora, at number 7, Mob Psycho 100, at number 6, Symphogear GX Season 3, at number 5, that must be the one that is coming out from Discotech, Girls and Panzer Complete OVA Collection, at number 4, Spice and Wolf at number 3, Fate Grand Carnival at number 2, and then
Keijo? Say it correctly.
Keijo? I'm sorry. Keijo!
Keijo!
At sorry for everybody's ears. At number 1.
We mostly go, Kyle and JP's.
Yeah. We go to our manga, and it's all 20th Century Boys. I don't know if there was a sale. I looked at them and they're like a little cheaper than usual. I wonder if there was a bundle or if just...
All I know is, hell yeah, Naoki Urasawa, get it.
It's possible that them just being $5 off was enough to get people to pick these up. But all 10 spots are filled by 20th Century Boys.
Yeah, take that, Chainsaw Man, and the other titles which are there every week. Supplanted.
You're so negative, Kyle.
I'm happy. I like this.
Yeah, but you're delighting in the glee that something else has fallen.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
This is apparently also just top 10 in general. So that's pretty cool. I wonder...
Well, manga usually is in what I've seen there. Is that like manga just sells more units than anything else.
That's, yeah, that is fair. I do wonder, because I don't know how many volumes that series is, so I wonder if that's all, like if there's 10 of them and that's just all of them. But anyway...
I think it's pretty long, actually, if I remember correctly.
Well, these are the omnibus versions, so they're like 2 or 3 volumes each. Because I believe the singles was like 20 volumes or so.
22 is what I'm seeing.
And then 21st Century Boys after that.
2 volumes.
So we go over to the DVDs. We have Gatchaman Collectors Box Set 2 at number 10. We have Norn 9 at number 9. Fate Khalid Liner Prisma Ilya at number 8. Samurai Jam Bakumatsu Rock at number 7. This Boy Can Fight Aliens at number 6. That's like $2. Pat Labor, the movie thing, at number 5. Mushishi at number 4. A Lull in the Sea, set 1, I don't know that, at number 3, and set 2 at number 2, and then Gantz, season 2,
hell yeah,
at number 1.
Yeah. If you don't have Mushishi, it is out of stock, but it sounds expecting more.
But you can still get Gantz, maybe, probably. I don't know, it's all streaming, these are all probably good shows. This was the newsroom.
I don't think Mushishi is.
Mushishi is streaming.
You think
streaming.
It's a good show, or you don't think it's streaming?
I don't think it's streaming.
Oh, thank God.
Oof. It was on Funimation as early as like 6 months ago. But this is the Gonzo.moe newsroom. We come out every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern. We talk about news. I don't usually read the headlines until we do the show. We're on Twitter. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. Leave us a voicemail at 716-46-MOE43. That's 716-466-6343. 43. No Name Anime Show is coming out on Wednesday with Noelle and Kyle. We talk about a bunch of anime that's coming out this season. And we'll see you next time. Cheers.
Someday, Noelle and I will have to meet and have our final battle.
Woof.
I like that ending there, Vinny.
Yeah, take that, Noelle.
I just want to start building up a fake rivalry with him on podcast episodes and see if we can build into something.
That's right.
Fight. We've never interacted, but we've never interacted on a podcast.
Oh, wow. This boy can fight aliens is 150. This was one of those weird things.
Oh, you mean a free ship thing?
Yeah. Well, this was one of those things that Sentai got, because they would do this. They'd buy like a short or license a short and then release it as a single DVD. But this is 28 minutes long.
Yeah.
And surprise, it probably didn't do well.
They still do that in High Dive even. They'll get some like weird shit.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're right.
And then make announcements about it. And the thing is, at least they announced their like weird stuff that they put up on there.
Yeah.
I feel like Crunchyroll is not as good about announcing their shorts or publishing their shorts.
There was some shenanigans on Funimation. I just opened up their app last night just because I wanted to see if it still worked. And I don't know if this stuff was always there, but I found a bunch of like programmer tests where they just added a bunch of like test entries and test episodes of stuff or like subtitle tests. Very interesting stuff. Not, you know, I don't know, newsworthy, but it was fun just like clicking around and seeing what they were doing. But their app does not seem to work very well anymore. Surprise. They have not supported that now that they're all crunchy rolled out.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to, I don't know, figure out what I'm going to do for lunch. I will talk to you two later.
Don't forget to watch Summertime Rendering by next week.
That is, yes, correct.
Watch a few episodes, at least like two.
I mean, I could probably watch 2.5. We'll see. I'm reading the manga, so I can at least talk about it from that perspective.
Well, I'm just trying to make sure that we all, because it is nicer when we all have the same thing to talk about.
Yes. But I will talk to you two later. Cheers.
Talk to you later.
Bye.